because it's so easy to just kind of go along with it. But I remember a few years ago when I was working in a college counseling center, what happened was I think it was Thursday, all of the psychologists and the trainees would sit at this big table in a conference room, and we would go around the table and give opinions on a particular case that somebody was presenting that day. So someone's presenting a case and some of the challenges that they're having, and then we'd go around the table and give input. And a friend of mine said, and this friend was Vietnamese, she said, "Have you noticed that a lot of times when I try to speak up, I'm not called on? Have you seen this happen? What's going on with this?" And I hadn't really noticed it. I believed her. I said, "No, you know, I hadn't." And I expressed empathy, and it's not like I didn't believe her. I did. But things really did, and I'm ashamed to admit this, but things really did change for me one day when we were going around the table and she was sitting right next to me, and it was my turn, and I went and I gave my opinion on the case. And then the director spoke to a man sitting next to her and asked him, "Okay, well, now what do you think?" It totally skipped over her. Was it intentional? Was he trying to do it? No. I mean, it would have been ridiculous to intentionally try to do that, because of course she's going to notice and of course she's going to be offended. So I don't think it was intentional at all. But this is what she's been talking about, and it dawned on me. And of course, then I felt pretty ashamed that I didn't react stronger to it when she first told me about it. You know, I kind of believed it, but I believed her, but it didn't have the impact. But then seeing it really dawned on me that I need to trust other people's experiences. And when they're having a strong reaction to something like that, to be able to really meet them where they are. And that's so important, I think, in a therapeutic context. But it's an example of her being ignored. And was it that she was a female or that she was Vietnamese? Well, I mean, there's no way to absolutely prove it beyond a benefit of a doubt. But it is interesting that nobody else was complaining of being overlooked. Even me as a woman, I was not overlooked. So this is something that she said she was experiencing on a consistent basis, both in this context in the college counseling center, but in other aspects of her life as well. So just another example of micro inequities. So, you know, these are just a few examples. I actually want to go over more examples here, starting on the next slide, slide 9. And I really like this table, and it goes from slide 9 through slide 11. And what's so great about this is that it quotes the microaggression, so what the common microaggression is, but it also lumps them into themes, because microaggressions tend to have themes to them. You know, black men are dangerous or deviant. So microaggression themes based on biases, sometimes conscious, sometimes unconscious, based on stereotypes, attitudes toward different groups. So you have the themes, the microaggression, and then you have the underlying messages. And this is super important, because sometimes it's not clear, you know, if you're the one, you know, delivering the microaggression and it really is unintentional, then you may not even understand what the message is, because if you did, you wouldn't say it, right? So I like that the underlying messages are just spelled out here in this chart. So let's take a minute to look at this chart and to begin talking about this in more detail, move to the next audio recording.